Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, September 14th, 2023. And we are going to be talking about the last couple weeks. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do a show last week as we were both under the weather. And so we'll talk about just some of the, you know, the concerns that have kind of popped up over the last 2 weeks of the season. Mainly, I think we kind of got it boiled down to four areas right now that we both have some concerns, questions, you know, comments about. But, you know, anything's fair game with that, with the team as a whole. And then we will talk about the Western Kentucky game that's coming up here on Saturday. You know, not really a great slate of games this week in the country or in the conference. But, you know, next week should be a pretty good week.
Yeah, next week will be good.
A lot of big games are kicking off next week. So, you know, so it seems like this is kind of like the lousy final preseason game for everybody. And then, you know, football, a lot of big games next weekend. So so that'll be pretty much the tonight's show. So. You know, so the last 2 weeks, you know, we've played Indiana, 23-3, we beat them, and then, 35-7 against Youngstown State, you know, so score wise, you know, definitely nowhere near anything that we were expecting. You know, they did win both games. They were in control of both games for pretty much the whole game in both things. You know, but you know, a lot of sloppiness, some stuff, it happens early the season. You know, I think probably the Youngstown State game is just a little bit more difficult to take in general, just because you expect them to, you know, that to be a much more wider margin of a game for Ohio State. You know, the 23-3 Indiana, even though there's, you know, definitely things that, you know, did not look good, you know, could have, you know, I mean, you kind of just take that one. There's been obviously was a lot going on with the quarterback situation, you know, heading into the season. And, you know, I think we'll start there with the quarterbacks. It's kind of just one of the positions that we kind of marked down as, you know, the concern, questions, comments, all that stuff with. But, you know, we did get an answer this week is McCord. You know, it wasn't really any sort of a competition the first week as Devin Brown only played two series, I believe. Six, seven snaps. I don't can't remember how many last series, but they McCord played most of the game, you know, pretty much the whole game. He looked all right, and then he looked a lot better this you know, this past week against Youngstown State. You know, definitely the offense seemed like the you know, it moved a lot smoother with him than it did with Devin Brown. But you know, and we kind of talked about after the game ended that, you know, it's probably, you know, they should just make the call now and make him the starter, you know, officially McCord. And that's what he did this week. So, you know, McCord is the definite starter of Ohio State. You know, Brown might get in there here and there, you know, but, you know, it's McCord's team now. So let's just start there. Quarterbacks, kind of just your general thoughts of so far and, you know, just wherever you want to go with that one.
Well, I mean, Kyle McCord's outplayed Devin Brown. Devin Brown didn't really get a fair shake week one. I kind of alluded to, I was scared that was going to happen when we did the preview for week one, because Ryan Day is Ryan Day. He's a creature of habit. I mean, he's not just going to split reps 50-50 out of nowhere. I mean, the guy won't let backup quarterbacks come in when his team's up 40 points. So I knew it was going to be hard for him to take McCord out of a rhythm. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that was going to happen. McCord grew as that game did. He got better as the Indiana game went along. I mean, things got more comfortable. He made better passes. I know people said that Marv didn't get a touchdown. Marv went out of bounds. That's, you know, I'm not, there's no blame to go around for that. I mean, Big Ten official said he got pushed out, so his touchdown should have counted. We still scored on that drive. It wasn't like a, you know, drive kill or anything like that. Week two, though, Kyle looked a lot more comfortable. And I just don't, you know, Devin came in. Devin's not anywhere near as athletic as what some have advertised him. However, I mean, he's definitely, there's got to be something with Devin in running, because Ryan calls plays for Devin to be more of a runner. I mean, he calls QB counters, powers, you know, read options when Devin's in there. So there's definitely something about him that Day likes as an athlete. Yeah. Just hasn't been able to let it shine yet. But all in all, or, you know, against each other, Kyle definitely looked better, though. His passes were better. I think Devin had bright spots, though. He just wasn't as crisp as Kyle was. I did like on the second touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison, people were saying, you know, McCord made a bad pass or whatever. But, you know, Justin Zwick was talking on the live show the other day. He's like, oh yeah, he put it right in the guy's lap. What a horrible pass. You know, he had to get a pass to defenders. He did. Yes. Marv had to turn all the way around to catch the ball, but how many times over last year, I guess Marv didn't really play 2 years ago, but you know, we didn't criticize CJ and say he made horrible, ugly ass throws when Marv is the only person in the universe that could catch those balls. So I'm not going to criticize the guy for that. Where Marv could catch it, he knew he had to get it past those guys. Wasn't the prettiest ball ever, but it ended up in a touchdown. It wasn't like it was deflected or anything. So
yeah,
I'm good with it. So yes, I think the right decision was made. The right time to make the decision was, you know, for it to be made. Would have liked to see it been more 50-50 starting off with Indiana, but once it was there, I think that's just the way it had to be.
Yeah, no, that's how like my feelings are with everything. You know, I kind of was, you know, ready, you know, I kind of said, even after the Indiana game, you know, as we were talking in private, I'm like, you know, he should just make McCord the starter. I mean, obviously this is not whatever idea of competition that this was going to be. It didn't work out. So, you know, he just obviously feels more comfortable with McCord. And, you know, at the end of the day, his opinion is the one that matters. I know a lot of people says, well, he did the straw poll, blah, 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 all that stuff. But, you know, he is the head coach of the team. It's his decision. So, you know, he's got to live with it, you know, one way or another.
And if he would have came back and Devin Brown was the starter last game and he let him play the whole game and it looked better, I mean, I would have been all for, you know, there being an open discussion then. But once he did it another week, even though Devin Brown got more play, he got more play than Kyle did. It just at that point, it didn't really, doesn't even out, you know?
You know, part of me, I wonder, I think, you know, for a lot of things we've heard is that, you know, between the two of them, you know, the Devin is definitely the much more in your face, boisterous one. So I think that probably has something to do with it. But, you know, he has that maybe that leadership intangible, even though I don't like saying stuff like that, because there's a lot of quiet guys that can still be leaders. You know, there's you kind of need, you know, both. I think some of that stuff gets blown out of proportion. You need some people to be in people's faces, but it doesn't necessarily need to be the quarterback, as long as the quarterback has proven himself.
I mean, I do think, though, that there is a problem with this team that they don't have enough people to step up and be vocal.
I agree with that. You know, Day did address that in the press conference, and we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So, you know, we definitely know that there's not many of them that like to be out in front of getting interviewed. And so, you know, there could be some, you know, that might be skewing a couple things too. But just quickly, just on, you know, on Devin Brown, I think, I don't know, maybe if Ryan Day and some of the other offensive coaches, they just, maybe they got lost in the idea that, you know, Brown could not get, he was not getting hit during, you know, fall camp. So maybe he was making some plays and maybe the defense weren't really going that hard and, you know, at him because they couldn't really tackle him. So, and, you know, maybe that kind of got lost in translation. They were like, okay, he's making plays, but, you know, we kind of need to see this, you know, full blown in live reps. And it's not that it doesn't seem like he's necessarily a bad athlete. It's just that I don't think there's enough there that it's a difference between him. I mean, we did see, you know, a scramble for McCord against Indiana that looked pretty good. So, like, I think as long as McCord is willing to take off when he needs to take off in key moments, you know, I think whoever's the better of the two throwing the ball is the one that they should go with, just because obviously, as you saw, when they let things rip and they're playing fast and stuff like that, that's when their offense is the best. So, yeah. And I just think the offense is more crisp with him. And, you know, it's, you know, it is time. I do think, you know, picking the guy before the Western Kentucky game is the right decision, because let's get the guy as full of confidence as possible going into next week against Notre Dame. And so, you know, and it might be false confidence, it might be real confidence, I don't know, but it's just getting Kyle feeling good about himself heading into Notre Dame is, you know, so much of football is mental. And if he, you know, thinks he's, you know, the man, then, you know, might play like the man. It's you know, that's a lot comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, you know, the quarterback that was answered this week. You know, so let's move to the running game, and then we'll go to the offensive line next, because, you know, the running game, this is a mixture of a lot of different things. It's the blocking. It's weird to me, you know, again, I've never played college football. I played high school football, you know, offensive line. It's just run blocking is typically easier to do than pass blocking. And it just seems like, but there is an attitude, and Justin Frein did talk about that in his interviews today. There's an attitude that comes with, you know, run blocking. And, you know, and like I said, we'll get to the line here in a second. First, we'll go running game, since, like, I don't know. It's last year. Is it an even mixture of the backs just not hitting the holes hard enough? Is it bad vision? Is it bad line play? Is it bad play calling? It's just like the same issues that have really plagued them since, you know, JK left, you know, are still kind of there. And Sermon did all right. Finally, when he got going, he did, when he was healthy towards the back end of the season. Yes, he did do all right. But again, he was a very decisive runner. And so, like, you know, there's times I think, you know, is Trey not decisive enough, even though later in the Youngstown State game, he had a couple runs where he was very decisive, and, you know, he made some nice plays, got two nice touchdowns. You know, he scored three times, one got called back. So, like, you know, so I did like that. You know, I think Mayan's a little bit more decisive, but he just doesn't have maybe the top end speed to hit that hole like Trey does when Trey wants to just go right through the hole, you know. And then, you know, Chip Traynham looked unbelievable against Indiana, you know, a little different against Youngstown State, but that's not really on him. I mean, he's doing a lot of different things right now, you know, playing that Mitch Rossi spot and, you know, being a running back here and there. So it's just interesting how some of the stuff is working out.
They can't run stretch to the boundary. It's impossible. They can't do it. Whatever is wrong with that team, it's ineffective. They can't block it. No. They can't run it. They need to burn that part of the playbook. No. Trey, the zone scheme, I don't know. It just doesn't work for him. There's always a person there. It doesn't help that it's to the boundary. I think if it was to the field, Trey could at least use his speed to try to get around somebody. There's not enough field there. There's always somebody right in his face. There's always someone, you know, right at the cutback point for him. Yep. And he's not comfortable cutting back against his body. And I think Ryan Day, in his mind, he looks at that and there's a ton of open field if you can make that play, because you're cutting back to the field, but it's never there. They can't block it. I mean, we're going on 3 years where the backside end blows that play up every single time. In Indiana, it was just like, once you see this play, shoot a gap. And I mean, that Aaron Casey lived in the backfield. Yeah. And I think the other one, Andre Carter, I think his name was, he lived in the backfield. It's like, I understand when you say Trey's got to be able to make a cut, but that's really hard when you got somebody in your face as soon as you touch the ball.
Yeah, it's hard to make the cut when the guy's right there to begin with.
They can't block it. So scrap that part of the playbook. I think Chip's much better at it. Like, he was, and you saw it week one, he was anticipating more where he needed to start that cut, because that the three tech was so hard for Hensman to get to. So he was going right off of Hensman's back, making the cuts, and he looked a lot better doing it. Mm-hmm. But then when you get into the Youngstown State game, they ran more, you know, gap or power blocking schemes, and Trey looked much better because he is, when you tell him where to go, he does a good job with it. Or the last touchdown for 30 yards was to the field side, and he was able to run, you know, run around and get open and get into space.
Yeah.
So continue to get him into space. I think it'll be fine. I mean, I'm of the opinion that you run a gap scheme better. If you still want to go with the zone blocking, that's fine. Just I stretch to the boundary doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like you gotta, I'm okay with you mixing it in, but that can't be your base run.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of just a, you know, a thought, you know, when you kind of watched a little bit of the Alabama Texas game over the weekend, that, and it's still early in the season, I don't know how much of really the advancement of the playbook has been shown right now. It doesn't seem like a lot. It's pretty vanilla still, but, you know, Sarkisian did do a lot of, you know, to help the running game out, you know, did a lot more passing to the run, the back. So like, I hope some of that stuff,
Sark's just a better mind with that stuff than Day is.
Like, I just think that some of that, I hope some of that stuff is showing. I mean, it was nice seeing them run that screen, and, you know, and they do need to include some of those pass plays into the offense, because that's basically an extension of the running game, and, you know, that works. So, you know, I definitely, I like the wheel routes, or the we've seen so far this year.
It was nice.
You know, I'd like to see that ran with Trey, like, and nothing against my end. It's just that, you know, Trey's just got a little bit more of a burst, and, you know, on a couple of those, hell, I mean, mine was, you know, had a step on the guy. I mean, if that would have been a Trey, if it would have been the same throw on, you know, those prior touchdowns, and, you know, so, you know, yeah, I definitely want to see stuff like that going forward. Definitely agree with you. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, forever. That boundary run just doesn't work. The stretch run, for whatever reason, whether it's Trey, the line, both, it just doesn't work, you know, and they need to go away from it. The field run, I loved it when they ran it to the field side on the touchdown, you know. Yeah.
Well, that was a read play
too. It was a read play, and, you know, so it was a little different. But that guy couldn't, the defensive end almost got to Trey, but Trey had enough grass in front of him that he could at least use his speed to get around him, and then he scored. And, you know, but those earlier, the back-to-back touchdown runs he had, the one was called back, and then they ran it a couple plays later. You know, that's what I want to see from him. When he knows how to get right upfield, like, he is just as dangerous as he was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's just they need to start calling better plays for him. And, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, not everything works for every single player in an offense. So you got to kind of get out of your mindset and, you know, call the plays that work for the guys that you have in there. And, you know, and yeah, sure, Trey probably could be a little bit better, you know, hitting the holes a little harder, but, you know, I just, for whatever reason, he has all the athletic tools. It's just that, you know, he just doesn't see certain cutback lanes as good as other backs in the past. And that's okay. You don't have to be, you know, the greatest, you know, have the greatest cutback vision in the world. Not everybody is born with that. That right. Can just see it, you know? So you scheme it up to where you can scheme it up at the work for him. So, you know, hopefully they start doing it. I don't want this to be a nagging thing as this year goes on. It's just, you know, cause it just seems like it's repetitive, because we've talked about it so much with some of the other stuff. So, you know, that's kind of just my thoughts there.
Before moving on, and this is something I really thought about more so today. I mean, I was, I don't know, kind of pessimistic today. Not overly, you know, but just thinking about things. Why over the last 2 years, and I know Day was like, he's hell-bent to prove that the team is tough and they can get 2 yards when they need it. I don't get, though, with Ohio State's talent, Even if it's a third and two, third and one, why are we going jumbo sets in the middle of the field? Like, why are you scheming it up only to go 1 yard? Like, why are you running your normal playbook that you can get 10 yards out of something? Yeah. You know, like, it doesn't make any sense why you're just lowering yourself just to move the chains. Like, do more than that.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Like, hey, let's just go to be a power team that we're not because it's only 1 or 2 yards to gain. Like, be who you are.
Yeah. And you can spread, you can, yeah.
You can be tough and spread teams out.
Yeah. I mean, you think about how tough Urban's teams
were. It's not like conflicting ideologies, you know, like you can still be tough in a spread run offense.
Like, you know, when you think about all the times, you know, under Urban, when they would get those first downs and why, you know, yeah, a lot of, there wasn't like a lot of magic to it. You had a running back and you had a quarterback and neither one of them could take it. And, you know, the receivers, those spread the guys out. And so they weren't back. They weren't packed in there as hard as they are, you know, nowadays. So, yeah, that is definitely an issue.
It just irritates me. Like, why are you running goal line from the 50 yard line?
Like, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I like all of our tight ends, too, but I like having, you know, Marv and Abuka on the field.
You got the best players in the country. Let them on the field, like make them a threat.
Yeah. And you force. Yeah, force a couple of those safeties to the outside and, you know, you might get a first down. I don't know. I mean, yes, that's a definite issue, you know. So, you know, offensive line is, I think, the big issue right now.
Yeah.
Offensively. Now, I don't know how to take from it. I did feel like they did play better against Youngstown State than they did against Indiana. But like I said, I don't know how
it's competition.
I don't know how to, you know, judge it, you know, and honestly, we're not going to really probably know where the offensive line if, you know, are they progressing every week or are they just not good? And we're not going to really know that until next week. And so like, you know, like, cause they can make improvements on paper, you know, against Western Kentucky and still, you know, just not be there yet for when they go up against, you know, a much more quality defensive line next week in Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, so that is what's really worrying me. I do like that the fact that it seemed like, they did get better as the game was going on. They were able to shed a couple blocks and get up to the second level, you know, as the second half was going in this last game, you know, so that's good. You know, maybe they are starting to communicate with each other to the point that that is working. Like I said, you know, level competition is what it is. And I did like the fact that they ran those two touchdown runs that even though the one was called back, I did like that they ran those two touchdown runs to the left.
Yeah.
I think that was needed. I think that is a confidence booster, even though, I mean, Simmons did rip the guy's head off on the one, literally, you know, which is illegal, you know, but, you know, he, and even though he maybe got a little too close on the second one too, even though his hands were fine, that guy at that point, if that head only would have came off on the second touchdown, that would have been on the defensive lineman, in my opinion, because I mean his arms were hitting the guy's chin, not, you know, on the helmet. And so
there is no review for that play.
So. I know there's no review, but I would at least, the Big Ten could have come back on that one and said we made a mistake.
Yeah,
because that seems like that's happening a lot. So
right,
the line is definitely a concern, but two starting tackles, even though, you know, Fryer has played, and, you know, the center is new, and, you know, yeah, you got very experienced guards that have played a lot of football, but, you know, there's only so much, you know, there's a lot of new pieces there, and two guys that are now starting in the NFL, and, you know, Whipler's on a team. So like that's, you know, it's not like these aren't, you know, bums that got replaced. These are legitimate people. So, you know, I think we all knew before the season, it was definitely going to be possibly a work in progress. And that's what it is so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't have much to add to it. I mean, run blocking's worse than where I thought it would be. Pass blocking might be a little bit ahead of where I thought. However, you still got to look at the competition they've played. You know, hopefully they keep gelling, keep getting better with the pass blocking. and run blocking, of course, because that's where it's weaker. But I'm not sure Notre Dame's ends are going to give them too much of a challenge next week, but they definitely will get challenged once they play Penn State. So hopefully, you know, things are a lot tighter by that point and they're ready to rock and roll. But I don't have a ton more to add. I mean, I think we can all, most people say Josh Simmons and Donovan Jackson might be right now the weak link, or Hinsman down the left-hand side and the right's been better than the left, but got to keep working at it.
Yeah.
Get to gel. You know, the more you work together, the more you understand your assignments, when to pass somebody off, when not, climb to the second level. So repetition can only help.
Yeah. I think, and then just, you know, Youngstown State is Youngstown State, you know, so the pass blocking did look really good against them, I thought, for the most of the game. But I will say, the second half against Indiana, I thought they, you know, pass blocking wise, you know, looked a lot better than they did in the first half against Indiana. So I thought that was a positive sign because, you know, at least, you know, Indiana was trying to come at them a lot more. And I thought they did better there. So, you know, this week's another game and then, you know, the big one. So we got a big one, but, you know, it's a get good reps here. It's you know who your quarterback is. And I think that probably will help them because there is some, maybe some different, especially, you know, you got a quarterback that might be more willing to take off. That's, you know, a different blocking than, you know, one that isn't. So, you know, that could be, you know, at least they can stay focused to that, you know, how much it would help. I don't know. But so we'll see how that goes. All right. So defense side of the ball, I think me and you are in the same spot that, there's some nitpicky stuff on the back end, but really it's on the defensive line.
Yeah. I've been okay with the back end. I think, you know, they haven't been perfect, but I mean, rewatching the play that I had issues with against Youngstown State with Cameron Martinez, it actually was good coverage and good recovery on it. Of course would have liked to see him be able to make a play on the ball, but yeah, I mean, it was a perfect throw for what they needed. The guy had to stretch out and dive for it. It was a hell of a catch. So, I mean, I give them more credit than, you know, what I think what I did previously. So I've been okay with the back end. Igbinosin, he can get things a little bit tighter, a little cleaner.
Yeah.
But then, of course, you know, when he does, he's a little handsy. So that's just going to be what it is. I don't mind having an aggressive cornerback, though. That'll be okay. Just don't hurt us, you know, and
I definitely
times when we can't get hurt.
Yeah. And I feel the same way with you about Cam and stuff like that. But I do like the fact that, it seems like, you know, that the Hancock, you know, having the three corners out there is definitely, you know, they're going to be very hard to pass on, you know, in those situations. Mm-hmm. And if Knowles, you know, if he is going to bring up a little pressure here and there when he brings his pressures and stuff, it does make more sense to have, if you're going to put guys on islands, it does make more sense to have three of those guys be corners and not, you know, one of them be a safety. So that's, that is a smarter thing. So I'm glad that they have, you know, it seems like have made that switch. Not saying that there's not spots that Cam Martinez can play this year, but I do think that they do work better with the three corners out there than they do with, you know, if they're going to have the third safety on the field, and, you know, I think it's going to be more on running downs and, you know, against bigger personnel packages, and have on against passing teams, which, so I have a feeling we'll see a lot of Hancock this weekend against Western Kentucky. But the defensive line is definitely where we are concerned.
That's mostly ends too.
Yeah. Because, you know, the corners are playing good in my opinion. Yes. There's some things that Igbinosin could, you know, yeah, he could clean a couple things up, but you know, he's there. And,
like, but the corners have played well against bad competition to this point.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of hard, you know, I think there was some stuff last year and a little bit the year before where you say, well, they're letting guys get open too easily. So, you know, the guys can't get to them. Like, it doesn't seem like that's an excuse this year. Mm-hmm. And so that is definitely the big concern. And I know they kind of, and when you look back on the game, yes, it feels like Youngstown State was more in drop back pass on the first go around than they actually were. You know, they did run it a little bit more than I thought they did.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't like Indiana. Indiana was purposely trying to just, right, you know, run the clock out. Youngstown State at least was trying to play at spots. So there were opportunities there that I felt like, you know, okay, this is a Division One, Double A, whatever, FCS, whatever that's called now. This is not a Big Ten offensive line at all. And, you know, so like when they're dropping back to pass, go hit the quarterback. And it just, that was
yeah,
that's just getting frustrated. And I don't know, like, and, you know, we've kind of talked about this in private. You know, I know there's a lot of criticism at JT right now just because, you know, everybody expected him to be the dude, but I think he does a lot of the stuff that they're doing is stuff that he's really good at. He's more of a strong side defensive end. He's not necessarily the rush defensive end. So I think the other side is the side that's the issue. And I don't know if it's, you know, if Caden Curry, cause he's flashed when he's been in there. You know, we haven't really seen much of Kenyatta, and it's nothing against Jack. I mean, Jack Sawyer, I really like him because he's had moments where he's, you know, he's been very hard in the past couple of years to block, but it's just, he's just not consistent. And I don't know, maybe it's time to start splitting reps a little bit more and getting those. I mean, he can still be the guy that starts the games off and stuff like that, but maybe it's time to see what Curry can do at half those snaps. And
right, and I don't know, man, Larry's guys, the toolboxes are getting a lot lighter than what they used to be, because that used to be the thing, you know, you get them all the tools and then they could beat you any which way that they wanted to. Have you seen like JT or Jack do any sort of inside move? I mean, no. They either just bull rush or try to blow past somebody, and it just takes too long to develop. And I know guys will say, hey, it fits within the scheme of what Jim Knowles is trying to do. Jim Knowles says they're doing fine. Like, granted, I'm not all, you know, all knower of ball and Mr. X's and O's gurus, but use your eyes, man. Like, these guys are rated the top 1 and 3 players in the country in 21.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. 21. Yeah.
Yeah.
And neither one could get to the quarterback. And it's just, you know, and Michael Hall and Tyleek Williams, and the tackles have been more disruptive, but these are all, you know, 4 top 100 players in the country, not top 100 defensive linemen, top 100 players in the country. And I mean, they're just struggling to get to the quarterback. So I think Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, they got to get some run there, because I think Caden just brings a whole different level of intensity to his game.
Yeah.
And I think Kenyatta Jackson has a better pass rush move. So
maybe,
I don't know where he fits in.
Maybe
he'll surprise us. Maybe.
Maybe we need to see the Jack more with, you know, Hicks or Melton.
Yeah.
And, you know, see what they can do out there.
I know Hicks, you know, that really pissed off a lot of Buckeye fans that he only got one snap against Indiana. I do think he deserved more. I understand both ways, though. I'm not losing sleep over him only getting one defensive snap. I felt like it's more frustration that he didn't get garbage time snaps against crap teams last year that they played and they blew out. But I'm all for, you know, getting your dudes on the field and letting them make plays. If they do make mistakes, it gets on tape. Just let them, you know, correct it. Give them a correctable lesson. And I don't know against Indiana if there was really any fear that they should have had about getting Hicks in the game. But I did, you know, go back and forth with some guys on Twitter. If the offense presented more of like a, hey, we can trade touchdowns with touchdowns type deal, you know, maybe they do get more guys in on defense because they trust the process of the game, the flow of the game more. But when you're not scoring touchdowns, I mean, 23-3, you know, that could be 23-10. And then you never know what happens from there. So I'm not saying they were ever in any fear of losing to Indiana, but I can understand that more. But I do want to see Hicks get more run. And
I think where I would like to see him is like, you know, I mean, obviously you don't want to take, you know, you don't want to take Tommy and Steele off the field. I mean, that is obvious. Yeah. And that's where a lot of these issues are also coming from. It's not like
It's not like that's tough boiling out there. Nothing against tough boiling.
But our fans, like, they're treating Steel Chambers like he's Bryson Shaw out there. It's like, and again, nothing against that guy. I know he's still at USC, but the guy's fine. Like, why don't act like he's a liability out there? Yeah. Like, Steel's not a liability. He's a good, damn good linebacker.
Yeah. No. So I think maybe that's where the spark could be on that other defensive end spot. You know, maybe where, you know, Hicks, it doesn't necessarily have, hey, it's third and long, go hit the quarterback, and that takes away some of the thought out of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do is just go get that guy. And I would like to see him more in some of that stuff and where he could use some of his athleticism and maybe just be disruptive. And, you know, and that's fine with me. I don't need them to be. I don't need them to be Bosa brothers, Chase Young. I've never needed that. I just need them to be more disruptive than they are.
You just create chaos. Like, you're that good. Make things fall apart for the offense. Like, you don't necessarily, like, you don't have to hit the quarterback every time, or you don't need to sack the quarterback every play.
Pressures are just as dangerous as sacks.
And real pressures too. Like, because everything, they're like, well, they got there, but it's designed, you know, to get the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds. Like, you know, real disruptive pressure when a lineman's falling into the quarterback's lap and he has to make a throw that he doesn't want to make because it's a split second like that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Just create chaos.
And in these teams that the ball is designed to get out of their hands quick, then I want to see more padded. I mean, they get some big guys out there, right? Knock some balls down.
Exactly.
The ball tip the ball up and maybe get an interception.
I don't know. It's supposed to go that quick. Collapse the pocket as fast as possible. Get your hands up, get the ball in the air, and get the ball back.
At least to get that. Then you can say, well, yeah, they're not getting sacks, but, you know, they had 3 knockdowns and, a tipped interception. Right. I would like to see stuff like that.
So yeah, trust your eyes. I mean, I just don't think the ends are making the impact they need to be making right now, but still plenty of time for that to change.
Yeah. And I think, and we're going to get into this now because we have there's a coaching dynamic here that between the two of them that I think is starting to really bug me. And at first it wasn't bugging me like last year and stuff like that, but you can't have 2 defensive coordinators. The co-defensive coordinators works. It doesn't work when both of them have equal power. And I know Larry is not co-defensive coordinator, but there is, like, when Jim Knowles made the comment a couple weeks ago that, you know, well, the defensive line, that's Larry's thing. That made me nervous when he said it. And I'm like really nervous. They have to have one vision. And so, like, I don't know if they have it right now. And it's just a problem because, you know, there is, and I'm not saying that, you know, they need to get rid of Larry Johnson. Like, that's not what I'm saying. And I want that to be construed that way. It's just that I think it just needs to be told, like, hey, you know, Jim's the defensive coordinator. He gets paid to be the defensive coordinator. And, you know, you are the defensive line coach. We want you to do what you do best, but it's got to be within his system. Yeah. And like, and that
some ideology of defense is not meshing between the two of them though. Like, something's messed up with it because the defensive line, at least the ends, they're not making the impact they need to make.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at with that. I think that they need to either button that up this year, or, you know, it is time for maybe Larry to retire. And, you know, I don't want to, I know he's still getting the big time recruits and stuff like that, but if they're not being developed to the point that, you know, what the standard is, and the standard is what the standard is. And, you know, I mean, yeah. Okay. Blame the Bosa brothers and Chase Young for, you know, bringing that in, but that's what this standard has been set at now over the last several years. And, you know, so I think that hopefully, you know, here with reps and stuff like that, they start getting this down and, you know, they can start being much more disruptive as they play more, you know, balanced offenses and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll see. But that could be definitely a growing concern.
Okay.
All right. Before getting on to Western Kentucky, I think just last concern that has kind of popped up just in general, it's third downs on both sides of the ball. It's been the thing talked about all week through all the, you know, the beat reporters and stuff like that. And Dave's talked about it. They are not getting third down conversions on offense, and they are giving up way too many third down, you know, not getting off the field on defense. And that's where, you know, there's some, a lot of concerns actually have been brought up about the lack of plays. Well, that would solve a lot of that stuff. You get more plays if you keep the ball longer and you get off the field quicker.
Yeah. I mean, that is what it is. And that's why, like, I understand the clock change and everything got everybody into a tizzy, but I mean, that is the bulk of the problem is efficiency, that you're not continuing to keep the chains moving and you're letting the chains keep going against you on defense. I mean, I'll say it, you know, if third down conversion doesn't get better, I'm going to be way, way, way pessimistic about my views of them going undefeated, because that has to get cleaned up. They're currently third to last in the country. Yeah, something like that. I mean,
that's bad.
Yeah. So you got to. You definitely got to get that fixed, because if it doesn't, I mean, you're just going to run into Michigan from 2021 all over again, where you can't get the ball away from them. And, you know, you don't want that, but that could happen against Penn State. That could happen at Wisconsin. I mean,
next week
against Notre Dame. So you got to be able to stop the guys, and you got to be able, you know, score and can. Right. Just move the chains yourself. So yeah, it's a big concern. I mean, we'll see, you know, as this week goes on, how they look against Western Kentucky and how it improves. But right now, I mean, that's a huge concern.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I definitely want to see them get, you know, they need to get a lot better on their third downs to, again, what the standard's been. The standard's for a long time, you know, they make third downs. And I think we kind of talked about this earlier. You don't have to necessarily on these third and shorts, like, throw some things out there. Maybe, you know, things, hey, oh my God, they hit Marv on, you know, a third and one on a slant or
yeah,
whatever. Seriously. Like that, or, you know, they hit a Buka out in the flat. And like, just whatever, just to throw stuff on tape that is like, maybe like, okay, they're not going to run the ball here on third and short, and they can do other things. And, you know,
or what about like motioning Ibuka out and then replacing him with Henderson and just throwing the ball instead of waiting for it to be a check down? And it's just, he's receiver one on that play. Like, yeah. You know, I've seen Sark do it. Like I was so impressed with how Texas played Alabama, and I know Alabama might not be what they were last year or whatever, but he called a brilliant game.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we can't see more of things like that. I mean, yeah. He uses motion every play, and it always has purpose. You know, it's either getting someone open or it's a decoy to get someone else open.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. So third downs definitely have to get better, you know, and yeah, on the defense side of the ball, you know, they need to get off the field. And I know Western Kentucky is going to challenge them a lot of that stuff, because, you know, their whole offense is built on, you know, getting a lot of third and shorts and getting a lot of third and shorts and getting a lot of third shorts. And then they go on top, and that's the air raid for you. It's going to be a lot of throwing the ball, you know, a lot of quick hitters, and then up top, a lot of quick hitters up top. And that's how they play. So it's going to be a lot of challenge there. All right, Western Kentucky. Speaking of them, let's move on to this week's game. So we've aired all of our grievances so far for the first 2 weeks.
I know, I feel bad. Like it's not like a dog on Ohio State day or anything like that. It's just, you know, there are concerns, but it is to be expected when you have a new team. I kind of thought the process would be different getting to this point. And I know Austin Ward specifically thinks he's kind of going, like, Dave's going about this as like a preseason, which I kind of see, because, you know, your running backs in the last game got 6, 6, and 5 carries. So I definitely could see that being the deal, trying to keep people fresh. But then on the other side of it, it's like Marv's been in most of the game, so not quite meeting, you know, all the way with that philosophy. But I do see some of that Day is kind of treating this like a preseason, just kind of getting people's feet wet, getting, you know, plays cleaned up, whatever it may be, trying to not just like settling for, hey, this is Indiana, this is Youngstown State. You know, I could run four verts all day long and beat these guys by 70 points. So, I mean, I do respect that and appreciate it, but I don't know. I mean, I just, it's not where I would like to see it right now. Of course, it's only 2 weeks in, but it's been bad competition. So, yeah, hopefully it keeps getting cleaner. Hopefully it keeps getting better. I mean, it looked like it was getting better offensively last week. So maybe you keep growing on that. Western Kentucky, they throw the ball a ton.
Yeah.
They average, what do they average? Like close to 330 in the air. So nothing crazy. They give up a lot. They're not a great defensive team. But they got a really, you know, Austin Reed, he's their quarterback. Day said he's a NFL quarterback today. And then Malachi Corley, that's their slot receiver.
Yeah, it's something like that.
He's good.
He's their guy. He led the country last year in yards after catch. Yeah, so he's going to be a real deal. I do like that's probably, like I said, it's smart that the defense has went into the, you know, getting Hancock now into the game, because I have expectations that we're going to be playing a lot of that, you know, style defense tomorrow, on Saturday, where they are going to need the three corners on the field, because, you know, they are going to get challenged, and I don't want to see bad mismatches on safeties and try to take those away as much as possible.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Ohio State, just don't get overly aggressive on defense. Try to see what your defensive line can do. If they can kind of take over the game, I think you're going to need a heavy dose of Hancock out on the field, though, to be on those slot receivers. And like you said, just somebody with better coverage skills being out there. Offense, just keep doing what you're doing. I would really, really like to see them. It's just figure out some sort of run game.
Yeah, I would too.
I would keep trying to improve on your power scheme if it was me, but just figure something out.
I think they need to, it's a weird balance. I definitely want to see them get Trey, start getting the running game right. But at the same time, McCord needs to get as many, he needs to feel comfortable going into
next week. And they got to clean up some stuff in the middle timing wise with Igbuka, because there's been both of them, him and Brown, have been late on throws to Igbuka or Marv going out, you know, to the sideline throws. So you got to clean that stuff up, get your timing down. So I agree with that. Yes. I would love to see Trey go off, but I think timing going into Notre Dame might be more important. So
yeah, that's kind of like
your passing up.
That's just kind of where I'm at. I mean, obviously I want to see them run the ball. I'm not saying throw the ball on every down. I don't need this to be a, 5-hour game, but
and I want to see more G Scott.
Yeah, I want to.
He deserves it, man. He is playing better than Stover.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with the way, G Scott's playing. You know, very rightfully so hard on him after the Michigan thing last year. But he came in with his head on his shoulders and he's playing very, very good. And so, let's reward him now. And, I definitely want to see, continue kind of the strategy from last week and take it to the next step now. Let's get our receivers in the game. Let's get them moving. Let's get touchdowns and get those tight ends in there too. And they're especially Scott. I really like, the versatility that he adds to the offense. And right now I'm liking the way he's blocking too. I don't know what's going on with Cade. It's just that, it's the blocking too that's just kind of like,
I know, and that's a part of his game that you thought would be real just like buttoned up and a strong suit, and it just he's actually a better receiver than he is a blocker, which kind of stuns me. G deserves it, and I know we're really early in the season. Chip Trainum is a very good lead blocker though, so definitely interested in that keep going on down by the end zone. Okay, sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
Speaking of the running game, and I don't know if we're here yet, it might be another week or two, and I'm fine with the three running backs, that how they're kind of doing it. I'd like to see them get more to two running backs, as the season goes on, but right now I guess let's keep the legs fresh and stuff like that. But I definitely get the get more passes to those, any of them, I don't care, just like,
you know, start coming up with some stuff. And, you know, it's okay. I'm not saying let's throw the whole kitchen sink at Western Kentucky. We can hold some stuff back, but it also doesn't hurt to throw some stuff on paper and be like, hey, you know,
right,
you know, don't think of it necessarily about setting Western Kentucky up for later in the game. You know, think about you possibly setting Notre Dame up next week, you know, throw some swing passes that could be 60 yard to Marv passes next week, you know, that, you know, getting safeties to inch up on a running back coming out of the backfield and then slipping a receiver behind him. You know, that's things that they could set Notre Dame up for next week. And, you know, and other teams down the season by, you know, showing things at them. So
I'm very low on the strategy of hiding your playbook. Like, if you're going to run it, you're going to run it. So get better at it. You know, like, don't just pull the rabbit out of the hat and you're not that great at it because you don't ever show it in a game. Like, work on it. I know you work on it in practice, but there's a difference between practice and live bullets. And I think we can all agree on that after a couple years of watching, you know, run blocking. Yeah, you get all this smoke blown up your butt that you got the best run blocking team there is and you can't get a third and one. So, I'm not all for the whole hiding of the playbook strategy. I think, you know, just work on what you need to get better at it. Who cares if someone sees it? Like, you got a million, great skill players. You can build off of that play, you know, like you said, just, like it can set someone else up. You counter off of it.
Yeah. And just because teams see it doesn't mean that they can go stop it. Like, you know, you have a lot of great skill players. Just because you might do something wacky to Marvin Harrison doesn't mean that they'll be able to line up and stop that play next week.
And you can always use, you know, pre-snap motions. There's a ton of things you can do to you know, get that same look again without a team being ready for it. So yeah, I'm kind of there with you. You don't have to go like balls to the wall, but at the same time, like, show your playbook, pedal to the metal type deal, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, and then defensively, just, I don't know how easy, again, their offense is designed about getting the ball out fast. I want to see some more inside moves from the defensive ends though. Like, you know, if
active hands or something,
just bat some balls down, you know, get in there on the inside a little bit more, that if that's what the strategy is, get the ball out quickly. Well, then the quickest way to the quarterback is coming, you know, inside of the tackle. So like, you know, instead of coming from the outside. So like, do some things, maybe run some stunts. And again,
twist the lineman, whatever.
Like, we don't have to hold things for, like, let Notre Dame see, you know, cause in the first, and I know that was a wacky game because, you know, the weather delay there, but, and NC State has seen Sam Hartman a lot. So, you know, he might have some tells and things like that, but you know, they were getting, Notre Dame's offensive line is good, but maybe not as good as I thought coming into the season, because they were getting some legitimate pressure on Hartman early in that game. Yep. And you know, putting him on his butt. So, you know, it's time to start coming at it, you know, make them see some of this stuff, and you know, it's okay. And like, you don't have to show it all, but show some of it. You know, like, make them think that, you know, oh, JT might be doing an inside move to the, you know, a wraparound or whatever, or a stunt here, and Jack, this is the same play they did a stunt last week, and you know, it's not liquid, is it?
No.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So we got a little cleanup coming up here, but this is what it is. All right. You want to score for the game? We got anything else you want to throw out there for the game? I mean, I just want them to look better. Let's keep progressing. Let's keep moving towards Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm going to say like 56 to 17.
Yeah, I'm actually same spot as you are pretty much. I'm giving them one less point for us, so 55. I think it's going to be 21. I think this is the first time. I do think, and that's no alarm on the defense. Western Kentucky's can stretch the field. They're going to do some different things, and that's a good thing. If this stuff is being trained as
you know, preseason. It'll be good even for our pass defense that I think is better than where it was over the last couple seasons, but they do need to get challenged in spots. So I think this is a good thing. And before Sam Hartman, it is a good thing. And, you know, so let's not, if as long as it's not a, and I don't think it will be a, you know, score for score shootout, you know, I'm fine giving up, you know, 17 to 21 points, you know, because they could use it.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.